Please sit down. And turn back in your Bibles to the first reading, Colossians chapter 2. What page was it on? Do shout it out to you. 214 in the New Testament of the Church Bibles. And we've reached in our little series chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. That's where we left off last time. That's where we set off from this week. And 2, 6 and 7 are key verses for the whole letter. If the whole of the Colossians message had to be summed up by just two of its verses, it would be these two. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Addressing the issue of how we grow and develop as Christians, how we continue in a lively spiritual life. And the answer is by continuing where we are in Christ and going deeper and reaching higher in Christ. And the picture you can see is a sort of combination picture of a tree and a building. How do we grow and develop? How do we go on? By being rooted and built up in Jesus. So rooted, I guess, is a part of a picture of a tree, built up, building. But we get the idea, and it's quite a straightforward idea, and it's a strong illustration because of that. For instance, with the tree thing, if I want the trees in my garden to grow better, what do I do? Do I say, I think I'll try them in different places next year? Dig them up, find a new patch, put them in there. Well, I don't think so. I'm not an avid listener of Gardener's Question Time or anything like that, but I don't think you'd find that advice on Gardener's Question Time. Moving trees usually sets them back badly. Disturbs the roots, messes up the growth, and quite often results in the death of trees. Once a tree is established, leave it where it is. Feed its roots where it is. Encourage its shoots where it is. That is how to help the best growth. Even if the tree is in a rather unlikely or unhelpful situation. And so what does this mean for us? Well, as you received Jesus as King and Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Verse 6. Think back to when you became a Christian, says Paul. When you first acknowledged, yes, I belong to Jesus. And it was a recognition, was it not, that Jesus is your King, your Lord, in charge of your life. And if that's how it started, surely that should be how we go on. Is that how it is today for you? Because that's how we can grow best. Established, rooted in Christ. As we received Jesus as Lord. And then, second, be established, it says, in the faith as you were taught. Now, the faith is the Christian message the apostles have brought and taught. Some of us talk about our faith, which is fair enough, but some of us talk too much about our faith and not enough about the faith. And if we want to grow, focusing just on our faith can cause us to go round and round in ever-decreasing circles. If we want to grow, it's about being established in the faith, as we were taught. And one big help, just a practical help as well as a spiritual help in this, is to be full of thanksgiving for what we were taught. It's so easy to take that teaching for granted and to go off looking for new ideas. And so often new ideas take us off the rails. So what does Paul suggest to avoid that problem? Be full of thanksgiving for the faith you were taught. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, he says. Thank the Lord for his death and resurrection. Thank the Lord for the Bible and the gospel. And we're much less likely to go off the rails. And there are lots of potential ways of going off the rails. And that's what's outlined in verses 8 to 23, the rest of chapter 2. We'll try and go through them. We won't deal with everything in there. But already we've been signaled the warning that Paul has. Verse 4 of the chapter. I'm saying this so no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. There are all sorts of things being said in Colossae, where the churches were that Paul and Timothy were writing to. It was on the crossroads in the middle of modern-day Turkey, where one big valley going east to west met another route going north to south in the center of the country. It was a place where all sorts of people and all sorts of ideas met. And it was very easy to hear a new idea coming from whichever direction and thinking, oh yes, this is the one I want, this is the one I need, and leaving behind old ideas. But Paul says, no, be rooted and grounded. Because new ideas are often very unhelpful. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. Don't be made captive, he said. So many new ideas trap us. Don't be kidnapped by people who claim to have great knowledge or extra knowledge. It's a deceit. Whether it's scientists pretending their extra knowledge about science qualifies them to tell us how to live, or some religious leader or celebrity telling us they've found the secret and that we need to do their thing, their new thing. They might be selling things as though they've got the full knowledge and we need to get that extra so that we've got the full knowledge. But, says Paul, if you are in Christ, you've already got the full thing. Can you see verse 9? For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. So don't be kidnapped. Just stick to what you've been given. Set your roots deeper in what you've been taught. Jesus' death and resurrection is where you need to grow and continue to grow in order to thrive and grow spiritually. And that's the message of the following parts of this paragraph, pointing to Jesus' death and resurrection as being the things we need to be in Christ. And if people talk about stuff like elemental spirits of the universe or reconnecting with the basic elements of nature, being at one with the world, whatever the phrase is that's in, listening to the planet instead of listening to Jesus Christ, then don't be kidnapped. If you are a saved and committed Christian, then you bow to the one who is the head of every power and authority, who has disarmed the other rulers and authorities in his triumph. Jesus is one who made everything and who will bring everything to consummation. Don't be kidnapped by others' claims of superior knowledge. Keep your freedom by continuing in Christ. So don't be kidnapped is like the message of verse 8 to 15. Don't be condemned is the message from verse 16 onwards. It's very easy, isn't it, for people to have a go at us and have some new idea which makes us feel bad so that we're meant to change our approach to life. Don't let anyone condemn you, it says, in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons or Sabbaths. Now, don't get this wrong. We need advice on all sorts of things in life. And Paul was somebody who chose self-discipline in his life. He prayed regularly. He observed the important Jewish festivals and rituals daily and annually. And if others had scruples about abstaining from certain food or drink, he respected their consciences, but he was not going to be made to feel like a second-class believer or an unworthy member of the human race by people saying he needed to do it their way. Don't let anyone condemn you, he said, in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons or Sabbaths. These things were mixture, religious observance. If you don't join in other people's festivals, patterns, don't let people condemn you. And new moons mainly reflected pagan worship at the time. It was widespread in the Roman Empire, and the pressure to join in for those Colossian Christians was immense. The expectation to follow the trendy thinking or the politically correct social action was large in a centralized empire like Rome. But Paul said, don't let them have a go at you. Don't let them condemn you. If people get up, het up about certain issues or certain behaviors, remember, Paul says, they're just the shadows of a good spiritual life. They're not the substance. Can you see in verse 17? These are only a shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ, he says. Don't get lost in the shadowlands. Don't let yourself, don't let anyone condemn you. And don't let others' overkeenness, let them try to disqualify you. Don't be disqualified, is verse 18. Don't let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking. You get an idea for the sort of religious milieu that there was in that place at that time. And some of those things translate to us as well. We can be told about other people's visions of whatever it is and think, be told that they're the important thing going forward. But no, Jesus insists the important thing going forward, if we want to grow spiritually, is holding on to the head. Verse 19. The problem with these things is they're not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Who's the head of the body? Jesus. Don't let people complicate things for you. Body parts connected to the head will still thrive and grow. If you want to grow, stick with Jesus Christ as your head, your Lord, your King. And if people want to invent extra regulations for you, this is where it goes next. Do not this, do not that, as though that is what matters for spiritual life. Don't swallow it. Verse 20 and on, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They're simply human commands and teachings. Now, I know little rules like this, what to wear or what not to eat or what not to drink or whatever, can make us feel ever so worthy and spiritual, but it's not what it's about. And really, they don't address the things which really need addressing in our lives, in our heart, in our behavior, in our spiritual vitality. These have indeed, verse 23, an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in checking self-indulgence. If you want to grow spiritually, says Paul, continue to live out what you received. Christ as Lord. Be built up where your roots are. Be established in the faith you have been taught. And just to finish off, to emphasize the picture that we were given in 6 and 7. We talked about the tree and the trees in the vicarage garden, and whether I ought to move them around a bit to help them come on? No. And if I have a building which needs developing, you know, it's not doing as a what it could be doing, what do I do? Do I move it? I think this house will do better over there. Do I dismantle it brick by brick and put it up somewhere else thinking that'll be better? No, that's not how buildings work. The wise thing with buildings is to leave them where they are, maybe strengthen the foundations where they are, maybe build a nice extension and enable the building to have a better use and better purpose where it is. Grow and develop where you are. That's what Paul is saying. Rooted and built up in him, in Jesus, established in the faith just as you were taught. That's what Paul and Timothy are saying in the book of Colossians, and in particular in this key chapter, chapter 2. We don't grow in Christ by moving to new ideas or responding and receiving those who are talking about superior knowledge or trendy calls to action. We grow by going deeper where we are in Christ, extending new shoots from where we are in Christ, extending longer roots into what we have received from God's word, and keeping on track with thankfulness for all of that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word encourages us in walking the good path. Thank you, Lord, that your word brings us back if we have wandered and strayed. Thank you that your word shows us how we can grow spiritually. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, his death and resurrection, his gospel, and pray that we may continue and grow in Christ. Amen.